He is risen. He is risen. He has risen. Today we celebrate the greatest event in the history of the world. Greater than anything you can imagine, the discovery of electricity, the signing of the Declaration of Independence, the fall of the Berlin Wall, even greater than Christmas. The resurrection changes everything. And all the signs we've been studying, if you've been through us with us through Lent, everything we've been studying and learning about has led to today. The greatest event that humans will ever see. Jesus defeating death on the cross is the best news we could ever hear. His life, death, and resurrection forever changed the course of human history. Sin had left a crimson stain on all of us. But Jesus' blood makes it as white as snow on a beautiful April morning. The prophet Isaiah wrote these words long ago. "Come now, let us settle the matter," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall now be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." People were once lost and caught in their sin, but Jesus made a way for us to find peace and healing and restoration. Through Jesus' life and life, death, and resurrection, we can have life ourselves. In John's gospel, he records three different times when Jesus, on the first week of his after his resurrection, three different encounters with different groups of people. The first was to Mary Magdalene, the second was to the disciples, and the third is such an interesting interaction with Thomas. Oh, doubting Thomas. And we're going to take a look at each of those. And as we do this morning, I hope that you listen in and see how they may speak directly to you in your heart and where you're coming from today. What's going on in your mind as you enter into this Easter Sunday? And hopefully, as we're here, we'll understand what a beautiful difference the resurrection makes. How when you and I and we follow Jesus with all of our heart, our lives just look different because, like I said, the resurrection changes everything. We're first going to look at Mary Magdalene as John records her story. You see, Mary, on the couple days after Jesus' crucifixion, on the Sunday after, she went to the tomb. She wanted to go to the tomb and anoint his body. But when she got there, she saw that the stone had been rolled away. And instantly she ran to find Peter and John to tell them the news, to tell them that Jesus, the stone was rolled away. And as Peter and John then ran to the tomb, I imagine they ran with all of they had to get there as quickly as possible. And as Peter and John got there, first the scripture tells us that Peter peered in the tomb and then John followed him and they found that Jesus was gone. Has somebody stolen his body? And then they heard, they saw, and they believed. And the scripture tells us that they went home. I don't know what they did when they went home, but they went home. But then Mary was left outside the tomb, alone, as John would tell it, trying to take it all in, weeping and sobbing and crying. And then she went in and saw two angels. And they asked her, "Why are you crying and weeping?" And she responded, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him. They've taken Jesus somewhere, and I don't know where he is." And then somebody came behind her, and she thought it was the gardener who had come in behind her, and he asked her the same question, "Why are you crying?" And she said, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." In this space and in this place, Mary is crushed. She was there at the foot of the cross, as John tells it, as Jesus died. Now she came back and Jesus was missing. His body was gone. And then it happened. Jesus said to her, "Mary?" She turned around, she turned and toward him and cried out in out loud in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. When I think of Mary lingering in the garden alone, weeping, I imagine she had these tears, these crocodile tears pouring down her face. Unsure of what happened to Jesus. The events of the past week have been unbelievable. And now she is here at the empty tomb, wondering in despair, where is my friend, my Savior? And then through her tears, through her pain, she hears this familiar voice call out her name. There must have been something about the way Jesus said her name, some inflection, something that pointed directly to who he was. And in that moment, she understood, she knew that he was right there. Imagine her surprise. Imagine her joy. Imagine her grief that has suddenly disappeared. For Mary, the resurrection changed everything. The pain she was experiencing was gone. And the questions were removed and she found answers. And she stood there with Jesus. For Mary Magdalene, the resurrection meant moving from tears of sorrow to tears of joy. Everything for her was different. Can you relate to Mary? Can you relate to being full of tears of sorrow and pain and then Jesus entering into your life and changing those to joy? The scripture tells us that later that same day, Jesus appeared to his disciples. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." The disciples did not know what was going on. They knew that Peter and John had gone to the tomb and saw that it was empty. They heard Mary's story, but now they're huddled in this room in their time of despair and fear. They were huddled together. Now they knew what the Jewish leaders were capable of, how their jealousy and rage got Jesus crucified, how it nailed him to the cross. They had a firsthand observation of how ugly the religious leaders' hearts were in that moment and how they'd condemned Jesus to death, and they feared that their deaths were imminent and they were coming soon. And then Jesus confronted them. He walked into the room. He just appeared in the room. "Peace be with you." He showed his hands and his side to verify that it was him who was once dead, was now standing with them. I wish I could have been in that room. What was it like to be the disciples in that moment? Huddled together in fear because of the Jews, because of what they just saw unfold in front of them. Huddled in fear and now standing in the presence of Jesus alive and well, right in front of them. The disciples were fearful that their lives would end soon. And now they're standing in front of their friend and their Messiah. The one they had spent years with watching everything that he had done. The one that they had spent years with watching him teach and heal and love people. They saw his ministry firsthand. They thought he was gone. And now he's right here. For the disciples, the resurrection meant moving from being fearful to being courageous. They were full of fear, but the history tells us that that wasn't the end of their story. Shortly after this, they dispersed into the world teaching about Jesus. And if you follow history, you would learn that most of the disciples, all but one of them, were killed for their faith in Jesus. And John was exiled to die alone. This once fearful group of people all of a sudden was on fire to tell the world, to proclaim Jesus to whomever would listen. They moved from being fearful to being courageous. The resurrection transformed the disciples. Mary, who was once sobbing tears of joy, tears of sorrow, now tears of joy. The disciples who were once fearful became courageous. But in that room on that day, Thomas was absent. He wasn't with the other disciples. We don't know where he was or what he was doing, but we do know that he wasn't present. And the scripture picks up a week later. And it says, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here in my hands. Reach your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord, my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." Thomas's story is oh so interesting. How many times do we tell God we need proof? We need a sign. We need to see something before we'll believe, because unbelief has just gripped our hearts. The other disciples had seen Jesus the week before. They had seen all that he had told them and seen it unfold right there. But Thomas was absent. But why did he doubt? He was there with Jesus throughout his ministry. He saw when Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb. He was privy to all of Jesus' ministry, his teachings, even the times around the campfire at night when no one was around. He knew Jesus intimately. And yet he doubted. He doubted. Thomas, like many of us, have a hard time believing about Jesus, have a hard time believing the resurrection, that he actually was the Son of God. But in this story, Jesus calls Thomas out. He calls him out and says, "Thomas, stop doubting and believe." For Thomas, the resurrection meant moving from doubt to belief. Seeing Jesus in bodily form, he moved from doubting to believing. It's an incredible story that I know many people can relate to. And over the years, Thomas's story has been used to tell people about doubts and how they can draw us away from Jesus, as opposed to just stopping and believing in Jesus as the resurrected Savior. So my question, can you relate to Mary, the disciples, or possibly Thomas? Do you need to move from tears of sorrow to tears of joy? Mary was sad because she thought that Jesus was gone forever. She couldn't grasp that he would raise from the dead. Jesus told his closest followers that he would over and over and over again, but they all missed it. And Mary moved from tears of sorrow to tears of joy. She felt alone and like she had nowhere to turn. She felt like Jesus was once there and all that she had hoped for was no longer there. And maybe you can feel that, or you felt that in your life, where you thought things were going in one direction and suddenly they took a hard right and you're not at all where you hoped you would be. And maybe you felt similar grief in your life, where all of a sudden your heart is overwhelmed with pain. And you don't know where to turn. But then Mary realized Jesus was alive. Jesus found Mary in the middle of her pain, and he was with her. In the middle of all that was going on, in the middle of her anguish, Jesus entered into that place and gave her comfort and allowed her to talk to him and understand that there's so much more. And maybe that's what you need to do yourself today. Maybe you can relate to Mary, and the pressures of life are just crushing. You look around and nothing makes sense. You look at the news, you watch the news, and you just shake your head. Maybe there's interpersonal stuff, sickness or relational issues that you have that you just look at and they're heavy. And you don't know where to turn. I have to tell you, Jesus is with you in the middle of your pain. He's right there with you. He hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't forsaken you. He's walking with you, and he's right there in your pain. And maybe like Mary, you need to turn your tears of sorrow to tears of joy, that you realize that Jesus is in it with you. Maybe that's why you came today, to hear just that. Around here at Revive, we have some helpful tools for people who are trying to step out of the pain of life and the things that are so heavy and crushing. We have helps for you. We have pastoral counseling. If you're going through grief and you've lost a loved one, we have Grief Share, where people will come around you and love you and care for you. If you've gone through an incredibly painful divorce, we have Divorce Care, where those who understand your situation will wrap their arms around you, and maybe your tears of sorrow will turn to tears of joy as you enter into that place with others. We have encouragers who will walk with people as they go through the struggles of life. If you'd like more information on any of those, after you leave this room, go to the Connection Center. They have brochures about all of our healing ministries that might be exactly what you need. So maybe you need to move from tears of sorrow to tears of joy. Or do you need to move from being fearful to having courage? This one has been challenging for me for many years of my life, and I'll tell you why. As followers of Christ, it can be really hard to share our faith with others. The disciples were huddled in this room, not sure of what they were going to do, and Jesus commissioned them. He told them to go, to tell other people, to witness to others, to get out of just huddling together in their holy huddle and to get out into the world and make a difference. He basically told them, stop just looking inward and look out to the needs of the world, and that's where I am sending you. And I think many of us need to hear that same message. We're fearful to tell somebody else about Jesus for fear of what they might think about us or what they might say. The folks we eat lunch with every day at school or work, or the person whose cubicle is near us, or those we see wherever we go daily, we're often afraid to let them know that we follow Jesus. Like I said, that's been a struggle for me for many years of my life. I remember when I was first a Christian, I took a spiritual gift test and it said I had the gift of evangelism. I said, no, I don't. But over time, I've seen that play out. And I think for many of us, we see things like that and we say, I don't know Jesus. I don't know if I really want to put myself out there. We're fearful. Fearful of what the world will think. The world doesn't necessarily love Christians, but that doesn't matter. We're to live our faith in the world, telling others of who Jesus is, to go and get out of our holy huddles and what's comfortable, and to live on the edge sometimes, sharing our faith with those who desperately need to hear it. Maybe you're fearful that if your friends know you're a Christian, they won't accept you. They'll sort of shun you and build up walls around you so that they won't really hear what you have to say. All of those things are true. But if we follow Jesus' words in this example, we need to move from being fearful to being courageous. To walking into situations that are difficult and telling people about our Savior. We have the answer to life. We have what the world is looking for. Why would we hide it under a bowl? Why would we hide our light so that the world can't know? We need to live our lives out loud and proclaim Jesus to the world. That's what Jesus is telling the disciples. Stop being fearful. I died and rose again. Tell people who I am. And what I've done. I have the greatest power. I'm God in human form. Go tell people who I am. Why would we hold that to ourselves? It's the best news ever, and people are longing to hear it. Maybe if you started living your faith out loud, people would commend you for it. That they would see how you share your faith, and maybe their lives would be transformed. Instead of hiding it for yourself, sharing it may launch them into eternity. Maybe when you show courage to share your faith, your friends will respect you, your coworkers will respect you because you believe, they see what you believe and who you are and your character, and they'll point to you and say, you're different, but I like it. Instead of being fearful and holding it to ourselves, when we share our faith to the world, we can have an impact on many. And that's what Jesus told the disciples on this first day of his resurrection. And that's what he's telling us to. Go into the world and tell people who I am. Do not be fearful, but be courageous. I died and rose again. I will be with you to the end of the age. Go and tell others. Today, I invite you to move from being fearful to being courageous. Or do you need to stop doubting and start believing? Do you believe that Jesus was a great teacher? He was a moral person who came to this world. People flocked around him. I don't exactly know why, but they did. Maybe you feel like he was set people on a better direction. But when it gets to Jesus being the Son of God who died for our sins, you put up a wall. You don't want to hear it, you don't want to know it, and you simply retreat and you say, that's great for Jesus, but I'm going to push him off over here to the side because I don't want to believe that. You're afraid that believing might mean something for your life and that you have to do things differently. So although maybe you've heard the message over and over, or maybe today's the first time, you doubt it. If this is you, Thomas is your guy. The difference is Thomas saw Jesus. He had a relationship with him. He walked with him. He learned from him. Thomas was late to the party, however, but when he got to the party and saw Jesus face to face, he believed. Jesus said to him, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hands and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe, Thomas. And maybe Jesus is saying the same thing to you today. Stop doubting and believe. Believe that I'm the Son of God. Believe in my ministry and my death and my resurrection. Believe in all that I came to do and that I died for the forgiveness of sins for the world. And you have a decision to make. To keep Jesus at arm's length or to embrace and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. You might be saying, well, that's great for Thomas, Paul. He saw Jesus. He actually saw the wounds in his hands and his feet. But Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. It's not necessary to see Jesus to believe. That doesn't matter. What matters is that you believe in your heart that he is the Son of God, that he came to this world and lived a perfect life and died for our sins so that we can have life. If you believe that with all of who you are, you will be saved. The emphasis in the Gospel of John is on believing. There's over 100 references to people believing in Jesus in this gospel. We can't see Jesus physically walking around. We can't experience him exactly the way the disciples can. But we have a record of his life. We have the story. You can read it for yourself. The words of the scriptures have been tested and they're true. For centuries, people like you and me have read the gospel accounts and believed in Jesus with all of our hearts. If you walked in today doubting, stop doubting. And believe. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died for our sins to take away the evil stain of sin and make us as white as snow. Today, I invite you to put your faith in Jesus. We're going to close this time and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for each of those three different groups of people that I've mentioned. And after I'm done praying, there will be some people around the room, both up here and maybe up the sides a little bit, who, if you feel that you need prayer for one of these three issues, you feel like you've been just trapped in sorrow and you want to give your sorrow up and find joy, we'll pray with you. If you're in the place where you've been so fearful and you want to experience courage that only Jesus can bring, we would love to pray for you. Or maybe you've doubted Jesus your whole life, and today's the day you want to believe that he is the Son of God. We want to pray for you too. So I'm going to pray, and then you'll see people around the front of the room and up the side a little bit. If you want to come and pray with one of us, we would love to. This could be the best Easter you've ever had. As you release sorrow, as you release fear, or maybe you release doubt and hand them over to Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you that on this Easter Sunday, we can gather together and worship you in spirit and in truth. And God, just as we saw in this gospel account and in the book of John, the different times you appeared to people who knew you, Lord, I pray for those who are like Mary, who have been weeping and fearful, just full of sorrow. Father, I pray that you would turn their sorrow to joy, that they would no longer feel like they're alone in their pain, but they would embrace you, understanding that you're right there in the middle of their pain with them. And that as you embrace them and as you're present, you have the ability to take away that sorrow and replace it with joy. Father, I pray for those who are fearful of many things, but especially fearful of living out their faith in the world. Jesus, you told the disciples to go and to tell others. And you're telling us the same thing today. Father, I pray that we would take this message, the Easter message, the gospel message, and share it with the world. For those who have been fearful, Lord, I pray that they would be courageous and stand boldly on the word and proclaim you to the world. And Father, for those who have been doubting, who have heard the message and not wanted to believe it for whatever reason, for many different reasons, Father, I pray that today would be the day that they release their doubt and they believe. And they grab a hold of you with all of who they are and embrace you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you that you rose from the grave. We thank you that you did that for each of us so that we may have life. We don't even fully grasp that sometimes, but we thank you. Jesus, the resurrection changed everything in our world. We thank you. We thank you that you call us to yourself. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we sing this last song, you'll see some folks around who want to pray with you. If you feel led to, come on up and pray, have them pray over you, or after this song, we'll continue that. Why don't you stand as we conclude our worship this morning?